Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome. Glad you're with me. Somebody knocks at home on your door? Maybe don't answer. It might be a financial advisor, believe it or not. You know, this is going to be a little bit of a rant, but bear with me. These unsolicited visitors to your home, they come, they knock. They might be selling vacuum cleaners, steaks out of the back of their car. They might be selling all manner of different goods, magazines, kitchen knives, all kinds of things. Now you can add financial advisors to the list. What? What you say? Is that, what are you talking about, David? Well, believe it or not, there are some financial advisors now that are actually out canvassing the neighborhood. They may be in your neighborhood next. And they are knocking on doors. And they say that they are out doing this to introduce themselves to the community. They're doing you a favor by showing up at your door uninvited to let you know about them and how they might be able to help you. Are you kidding me? Maybe I'm a little old school. And again, this is the rant part, so forgive me. But you know, it used to be that people would call you on the phone or send you something in the mail, maybe invite you to a presentation, but now they just show up at your door and expect you to talk to them. I think it's a little bit absurd. In fact, I think it's a lot absurd. Do you ever hear of a doctor or an attorney doing something like that? So why would a professional advisor? So it really got me scratching my head when I heard about this happening. And then I got to thinking, well, what about the safety issues here? And that's actually my bigger concern. I really don't care how other advisors market their services. I even heard the other day of an advisor that financial, that's probably a generous word, advisor, salesperson, was in a grocery store handing out their business card in the produce section. I mean, hey, can I weigh your grocery? Let me weigh your apples for you. And hey, by the way, here's my business card. Really? Okay, so anyway, let me get, told you it was a rant. So let me get back to the point. My real point is a serious point. I'm concerned about your safety. I'm concerned about anyone answering a door for anybody that they're not expecting. So I don't care if they show up to your door and you peek through the, you know, the slits in your window, the window shade, you peer through and you see somebody standing out there, well-shaven, clean-cut, suit, tie, the works, maybe even holding a Bible. Don't answer the door. If I were going to try, I try to imagine being a crook, that's what you would want to wear. And how much do you tell somebody about yourself by answering the door? Well, I would argue a lot. You go to the door, you are letting them know, and I've got kind of a couple things in my mind. Now, I don't have law enforcement training, but think about this. You go to the door, you're going to give them a general sense of your overall physical stature, your health, you're a strong person or not. Are you alone? Do they hear other people in the background? What time of day is it? Are you home at certain times? Are you married? Do you have on jewelry, giving them an indication of both your marital status or whether you're in a relationship? And also maybe some indication of wealth or assets. You know, if you answer the door and you've got a nice big ring or a watch that indicates something. These are just a couple of things that I would think that you would be telling somebody. Now, that's just me. What about somebody who has maybe a past of having criminal activity, maybe a little bit of training, or they're tuned into this kind of behavior? So don't ever answer the door. If somebody has a legitimate business reason to see you or communicate with you, they can write you a letter, they can call you on the phone. You're on the do not call list? Too bad. Okay, now if you've dealt with somebody in the past, they can call you even if you're on the do not call list. So there are procedures to contact you. My kids know that if somebody shows up outside the yard, they run inside the house. Doesn't matter. So I'm not suggesting you have to go that far, but you need to be careful because you just don't know who it is or what they may be up to. Now, let me talk about another subject that's kind of related. And this is maybe unfair, but I still think it's something important. Let's say you've gone to a financial seminar. You got invited. You got the invitation in the mail. Nice restaurant. Maybe a topic you're interested in, or maybe you just want to go. You attend, and the advisor, financial person, offers to come to your home as a convenience for you. They don't have an office or maybe whatever the case may be. Are you going to let them in your home? You've just met them. Do you know them? Well, they seem like a reputable person. Maybe they've got, maybe they are with a company. Does a company have a local address? Some advisors, some financial people might be working with an insurance company or an out-of-state firm, and there is no local company address. So you're really trusting somebody you just met to come into your home. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you want to meet with them and they don't have an office, which is, in my mind, that would be a question mark. Again, back to the doctor or attorney analogy or comparison. Every doctor that I know has an office that you go to meet with them for their services. Same with an attorney. But if you want to meet with somebody who is going to not have an office and is going to meet with you in your home, alternatively, maybe you meet with them in a neutral place like a restaurant or maybe a library or somewhere like that. You just can't be too careful. Now, I'm not suggesting that somebody that does a financial seminar and offers to come to your home is a crook. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in the world we live in, you need to eliminate risks to your person and property. And it may also simply be that you put yourself in a position where the person's in your home and it's more difficult to ask somebody to leave than it is for you just to get up and leave. Right? I mean, they have to leave if they're in your home. If you're in a restaurant or you're in their office and you're not happy or you're uncomfortable for any reason, you can just get up and walk out. Now, let me give you an example. A few years back, I was at a conference for an insurance company. I go and do my due diligence when I work with insurance companies. And I'd been invited to this conference and I was sitting next to a guy. I think it was like a round table lunch where you sit with other people. And get this, he was bragging to me about the bullying techniques he used when he would go into a senior's home. He was there to sell them a financial product, and he was telling me, I wanted to hear what he was saying. I really didn't, but he was sharing with me these techniques he used to get the person to go ahead and do business with him, and they seemed to me to be rather aggressive, and I was like, this is very uncomfortable. And I found a way to leave the table and not sit there any longer. But my point is, don't put yourself in that position. You don't need to be there because it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, and you just don't want to find yourself in that kind of circumstance. Now, if you're looking for advice, you can go to the neutral location if you're met with somebody who doesn't have an office. You can also go to the Yellow Pages, do a little old school research, go to the Yellow Pages. If you're on the internet, yp.com. You can go to the Better Business Bureau online, bbb.org. You can go to the cfp.net for a certified financial planner. You can just do searches of various reputable websites, do an internet search, keep an eye out in the newspaper. There are lots of places you can go to where you don't open yourself up to being put in an awkward or uncomfortable position. And just to come full circle, you know, you don't, one of the things about our American culture is being polite is strongly encouraged and looked on very favorably. But being polite, opening the door for somebody, you could be opening the door up for a problem for yourself. Even if that problem doesn't present itself today, it might down the road. I don't open the door. I might peer through the window to see it is, but I'm not opening the door. You shouldn't either. Now, this is not a hard financial topic I've shared with you today, but if you are as concerned as I am about your financial safety, this kind of preparation and caution will help you plan your future stronger.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your financial portfolio prepared for such a correction? What about inflation? What's your plan when that gallon of milk or gallon of gasoline costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has all the answers to questions like these and practical steps to help you hedge against these negative events. Call 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland.
And welcome back. Hello. I've got another important topic for you today, and this is on Well, it's on a lot of things, and it's going to be a little bit of a spirited conversation today I have for you. And it's to help you try to delineate or understand the difference between helpful advice and just plain old-fashioned sales pitches. All right. So do you ever wonder why some financial folks, some financial advisors, or different parts of the financial community feel very strongly about one particular product or another? Do you ever wonder why they say, never do this, but do this, or never do that, but this is good? Well, often those biases or those strong opinions come from what they can offer or what they are supposed to be selling. You know, there's an old expression in the financial services industry, you sell what's on the truck. Well, if there's one truck and it's got one thing on it, guess what you're going to get if you do business with that financial salesperson? You got it. What's on the truck? So let's use a couple of examples of some things I've seen not long ago to help illuminate this point. The financial services industry has more spend than politics. And you remember I said that as we go through political season after political season. If the financial services folks ever wanted to run for office, they would shame the politicians. All right, so let's go with a couple of examples. First one is, I call it the big spender. Let's say you see full page ads in the newspaper, your local newspaper, and they are touting a particular product or service. And let's say that they are telling you that, hey, you should do this or you should do that. Well, what you want to do is look very carefully to understand what it is that they are promoting and why are they saying not to do the other thing. So it's often the folks with the strongest opinion about what not to do who are the most interested in your money. So let me give you some very specific examples. First, this is one you've heard a lot. Here it is. Ready? Basically, it goes like this. The United States is bankrupt. We owe $18 trillion and counting. Often, if it's on television, you'll see the debt clock behind them on the screen. They're very smooth at how they do this. They are telling you the world's going to end tomorrow or maybe the next day. So, in preparation, buy their product. So there's a major fear component that things are really bad. Or the other one that they like to talk a lot about is our quantitative easing, the easy money policy that the Federal Reserve has utilized to try to revitalize and stoke our economy by bringing interest rates down to the floor, which I understand the concern, but there's a lot of hype or a lot of extra emotion evoked to get you excited. The other one is inflation. Any day now, inflation is going to go through the roof. Nope, didn't happen today. Well, it'll be tomorrow. Or the other favorite is when China stops buying our debt, we're going to be in trouble. Or if they ever call and they want our debt to be paid back, oh my gosh, they're going to own us. It doesn't work that way. So all of that is done to get you to buy something else. And usually that something else, gold, precious metals, other things like that. So there is a lot of hype and a lot of Armageddon type talk about how bad things are. So you better buy these other things in preparation. Here's another one. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. You can't count on it. The stock market's rigged. We're overdue for a correction. You can't trust your bank or Wall Street. The Federal Reserve doesn't have enough money to insure everybody's bank account. Well, okay. Those don't sound very good either. What's the goal there? Well, the goal there is selling you something like an annuity, where if these things happen, the annuity is going to protect you. So there is often with these extreme scenarios, fire and brimstone, that there is a very convenient product available by the spokesperson or whoever is going to be fed, you know, the opportunity to work with you to solve your problems with whatever product it is they're selling. And the third one, which is this one's really obnoxious. The headline is, I hate annuities and you should too. Insurance agents only care about commissions. All annuities are complicated and expensive. Stocks always win in the long run. Don't settle for low returns. Keep your money in the market for big gains. 2008, the stock market drops 40%. Where are those big gains? So again, hype, exaggeration, marginalizing the competition. No, not all annuities are that way. Not all annuities are complicated. And so what you have is somebody who is demonizing the competition because they want you to do what? You guessed it. They want you to work with them and use their services, access their products, which are primarily based on what I just described to you. What? Stay in the market, come hell or high water, be in the market, let them invest your money for you. And if the market goes down, hey, you know, that's what the market does and everybody's going down, so it's okay. You're bankrupt, everybody else is bankrupt. It's okay. No, it's not okay. That's why I don't want all my money in the market, right? See how that works? So there is this philosophy or this, it's really propaganda that is put out by some people, not everybody, but some people that push investments or some of the folks on Wall Street that markets up, markets down, you never get out. You're always on the ride. Well, you ever been to a amusement park and gotten on a ride and stayed on a ride? You know, for me personally, maybe I just don't have the intestinal fortitude that some people have. One or two times on the roller coaster is enough for me. You know, I'm not ever going to enter that Guinness Book of World Record competition for, you know, 300 hours on the roller coaster. I'm not doing that. And neither should you with your investing and keeping your money all in the market. Yeah, but you know, here we go. Here's the counterpoint. Well, these folks that say these very inflammatory things about the competition would say to that, well, but if you wait, the market always comes back. Yes, but maybe not in time for you or your circumstances, for your situation, or even during your lifetime. So what good is that? So all of these things you've got to look at and evaluate whether they are just a sales pitch, which often they are, or if they are really helpful advice. Now, I'm always an optimist, and I always try to look for the silver lining in things. So I'm going to tell you, take all of what I just said. Take all of that and apply a little bit of skepticism, or maybe a lot of skepticism to each of those, but learn from that that, you know what, maybe putting all your money into an annuity is not a good idea. Maybe putting all your money in the stock market is not a good idea. And maybe putting all your retirement money into gold or other precious metals is not a good idea. So my philosophy is you use different things to build your plan that is individualized for you. Yes, we know that we have a national debt problem. Yes, we all know that our debt continues to go up. Yes, we all know that even though we take in trillions of dollars in tax revenue, we don't have a handle on our ongoing deficit. We all know that. But trying to respond with some sort of panacea financial product to cure that is probably not realistic. Now, if you want advice, here's what I'm going to say. A couple basic things that if you work with any financial person, ask them questions. Ask them what they can offer. But even more important, what can't they offer? So if they say, well, I only specialize in mutual funds or investments, then they're never going to say something nice about an annuity or something else. Or if somebody only strictly does annuities, they're not going to tell you how wonderful investing in stocks is. It's just a reality. So keep these things in mind. And if you do, you can plan stronger.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions at planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Hello and welcome back. Stay alert to help avoid and prevent elder abuse. You know, the statistics are really alarming that one in 44 cases of elder abuse are never reported. You believe that? That's crazy. Elder abuse and abuse of people with disabilities is one of the fastest growing areas of financial exploitation in the United States. And even more alarming or concerning or really disappointing is that 90% of abusers are family members or other trusted persons like caretakers, friends, attorneys, bank employees, and even pastors. I mean, that is just crazy. So what can you do to protect yourself, to protect loved ones, to protect somebody you know, or just to be on the lookout for signs of a friend or somebody that you want to help if you see these things? Well, the exploitation, let's talk about why it happens. It's not a secret. The wrongdoers, the never-do-wells, the shame-on-you people, go where the money is. Get this. Age 50 and older in the United States control 70% of the wealth in our country. So next time that person that's maybe older than you is in front of you, open the door for them, you know? Be nice to the over 50. They are the ones with the wealth, so, you know, they target where the people that have money. So if you're going to go fishing, you go where the fish are. Now, the other thing that makes it part of the bad guys or on their radar screen is that as people get older, there is a correlation with older age and cognitive impairment. We slow down. We don't think as quickly. We could get confused easier. These things happen. Now, the other thing about elderly or older people is that their patterns of behavior are more predictable. The mail is delivered at 2:55 in the afternoon. The person, they're retired. They are out there at 2:56 to get the mail. All right, well, bad guy's going to exploit them. Their car, the bad guy's car, may break down right in front of their house at 2:56. What do you know it? What are the odds? Well, they know they've been watching. Then they say, we need money, money. I got a problem. Whatever the case may be. So the routines are more predictable. There may be additional challenges because, as we all know, I experienced this myself. We all experience this to some degree, that ever-increasing faster technology, new technology, is always passing all of us by unless you're in charge of technology or a company or this is just your skill set. All of us are always going, oh, what's that latest technology? Well, a lot of financial stuff is done through technologically based software online. So that also creates an issue. Helpers can also get access to the elder person's money. Let's say somebody comes in to help out with in-home care or just helping with chores, maybe a family member. Any of these situations may create an opportunity for that person to exercise undue influence. They may be a family member or they just may be another person. Now, sometimes what happens is the family member will exercise control or even manipulate the elder into getting access to their money because they feel like it's their money anyway. They say, well, you know, I'm going to get this anyway. I'm sure mom or dad, even though they don't really understand what's going on, they'd want me to have it now because, well, I'm going to get it anyway and I could use it now. Later, I'm not going to really need it. And if they ended up going into a nursing home or something else, the money might get used for a nursing home. So if I take it now, well, then that's going to protect it. You see the rationalizing that can go on? We also see situations where there's a sense of resentment, maybe against the victim themselves. You know, mom didn't ever love me as much as she loved the other one. Something that is in that person's mind that may be from when they were a child and now that they are the quote-unquote adult, now that they are the care provider, maybe there's some twisted revenge there and taking advantage of them with the money. The other one that I've seen play out firsthand with families is sometimes you have one family member who resents the other family member, so they get access to the money and squirrel it away so that they can not only get it for themselves, but also a form of revenge. Maybe there's been one family member who's taken care of mom or dad for years while the others have been maybe in other parts of the country and haven't helped at all. And they feel a sense of entitlement, but also, doggone it, I'm going to make sure you don't get it, or at least you're going to get less. There's a form of equalizing some parity there that they feel like they're justified in their action. Now, there are techniques that are commonly used to access the elder person's funds. Some of them include getting access to ATM cards, checks, so you can write their own check. Even more powerful is being named as a power of attorney. This is a legal document where you give somebody a power of attorney. You are creating a clone of yourself for legal and financial purposes. They can go down to the bank and withdraw every nickel out of your account with a power of attorney. So be careful who you give your power of attorney to. What else do they do? They use, this is really sad. They use threats of abandonment or even physical abuse. Can you imagine? To get control and get access. They even deny that person care, maybe medical care, so that they can retain control. I saw that also firsthand in a situation where a person was being controlled and wasn't being transported where they should have been taken so the person could retain control over them and bilk them for the money they were getting access to. So what can you do? These are all the things that can happen. What can you do? You can pay attention. Look for changes of behavior in the victim, in the elder that you suspect maybe is the victim. Are they moody, even more so, maybe than they were? Are they withdrawn? Do they act differently? Do they seem awkward? You know, this is a very, very embarrassing situation for that person. So there may be a significant change in behavior. Are you hearing that there are bills that are going unpaid? Are utilities getting cut off? Do they give their car away, or do they sell their car, or do they give up something that was important to them? All of these are little signs that could be indicative of a problem. And again, it's very embarrassing. They could have a whole range of emotions, but just pay attention for a change of personality. And then now here's the other thing that probably is most important. If you see signs or you have suspicions, That doesn't mean that there is an actual crime or victimization going on or abuse, but there could be. And most of us are not necessarily trained to pick up or even investigate these things. I'm not telling you to go confront the son who's driving mom's car. I'm saying though that if you see things that look suspicious, then you can get law enforcement involved and they can investigate it and look into it in the proper way. You can call your local law enforcement. You can go to, most states have a department in Florida. For example, we've got the Florida Department of Children and Families. You can go to the National Adult Protective Services Association, or you can simply just call the police and say, here's what I suspect. Where do I go with this? What do I do? So these are the things to do if you suspect that there is something going on. And now, this may not directly affect you, but you can help this other person live with dignity, maintain what they have, and plan stronger.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.